Well, last Sunday I started ministering. We titled this series to is Looking for the Messiah. It is one of the things that I've learned over the years of lots of times when people are looking for something in the future, they spend all their time looking at the future. But I've learned from Scripture, from the standpoint that God reveals the end from the beginning. And lots of times, if you want to see what the future is going to be with God, you must understand the past. And one of the biggest problems that we face today in the church world is a lack of knowledge of the past. They don't know. You know, there's a lot you learn about the character of God. In other words, the Bible tells us God changes not. There's not a different God in the Old Testament than the New Testament. Yet most people think there is. It's because He hasn't changed. He is what He is. What He did is He provided a way for man to be able to come to Him, but He hasn't changed. His holiness is no different than it was in the Old Testament. That's why we find out the wrath of God is on the unbeliever. The Bible tells us in John the 4th chapter, verse 36. The wrath of God abides on the person who doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? God hasn't changed how He deals with sin. It's never changed. But see, we look and we find out from patterns. We can look in the past of God and we can see what He'll do today. There's one thing as you can do. See, we can look at the past of God and what He was doing when the Messiah was revealed for the first time. And we can find out there's the patterns of what will be in the revealing of the Messiah for the church. It's not going to be a different. The patterns stay the same. He moves in the same ways. Everybody, you know, talks like this is going to really be something different. Not the way God reveals Himself. God doesn't change. He changes not. And you understand, when we understand the patterns, we look in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, you find what they call it types and shadows. Those types and shadows are patterns of things that we will see, but we should see them in a greater light in the New Testament. They should be in a greater light. Lots of times people don't. The average minister out here today, if they believe in Jesus Christ returning for the church, it's always, well, we just don't know, and they're always talking in darkness. And I know, this is just total ignorance. The Bible never teaches such a thing. This is what you're going to find out. Never in the Old Testament, never, ever did it ever happen, did God do anything concerning the nation of Israel that He did not tell them ahead of time. You will not find one place that it ever happened. Never. He would send prophets for up to 60 years in advance, telling them what he's going to do. Telling them. We go through. Just think, the Messiah, like I said, I had 40 Old Testament scriptures, 44 that I had just put down, the 44 of them that prophesied about the coming Messiah. So they would know when He was born into the earth, when the Messiah would show up, they would know who it was. 44. All those things written in the Old Testament. From the whole way back in Genesis, 4,000 years before the event, God tells them something. People who say God, you know, is they don't get things today and don't. You don't know God. There's one thing I have learned over the years. Anything that concerns me, God will talk to me about. There's no such thing as God won't tell me. This is why people don't have it happen. It's because of a faith problem. People don't know the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. You got to talk in line with the Word. God will always show me. Because His pattern is to do so. And see, that's why you want to walk by faith in these areas and that stuff. You want to make sure that you're talking. Because in this day and age, think about it. We are coming down on the end of the redemption. That the full redemption's about to be revealed. Do you think God's talking about it less than He did back when the Messiah came, was born as a baby? You know what it is? It's because we didn't make the end of redemption the big story. We made the birth the big story. That's the big story of the church today. And the church knows nothing about the fullness of redemption. They don't know a thing about it. They don't know when it's going to happen, when it's going to come. Nobody knows nothing. They're walking around, stumbling around, wondering about things. Saying, well, Jesus, come back. We just don't know. We just don't know. Nobody knows nothing. It's why? It's because of faithlessness. If it's not studied nor preached, you can't have faith. And if you don't have faith, the Holy Spirit don't reveal things. That's how it works. The Holy Spirit operates and moves in the areas by faith. And this is, you need to understand this. Let me just read you a couple of things here that will show some interest to you about why faith. This is the first of the coming. I wasn't going to go here, but the Holy Spirit just told me to do this. So I'm going to do it. Anyhow, because faith is such an important part. Now, if we look at Luke, the first chapter, an angel appeared to Zacharias to tell him. Now, this is the birth about John the Baptist. An angel comes and tells Zacharias, who is the priest that is on duty that year, who burns the incense in the temple. Now, this is going on in the temple. This is the spiritual place. Now, Zacharias, he is the guy over here. He's a priest. Now, he's supposed to be a spiritual guy, you know, of their day and time. He's supposed to be the guy that, you know, he's doing the things. He's, you know, around all the holy stuff. And, well, I mean, what a privilege it would have been. It's like with me to be able to, God anointed me to preach the gospel. I mean, to me, it's the most honored thing. I still can't figure out why he chose me to do it. But he did. But nonetheless, it would have been such an honored thing to be born and raised in among, that you would be one of the people that would go into that temple to stand before God. And as a representative of the people. Now, you guys got it good today because you don't have to, I'm not the representative of God. You all can go to God anytime you want. But at that time, that would have been a great honored thing. Well, the angel comes and tells him about his son that's going to be born. And this is what the guy does. The guy says in verse 18, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.'" Look what happens. You know, this is one thing we need to be very careful of. You know, don't ask God for signs. Believe. If God tells you something, don't, "Well, God, show me this or show me that, then I'll believe." Well, we find out what happens with that. This guy here, really, so what happens? He gets judged on why? Because of his unbelief. He gets judged because of unbelief. Okay? Buddy, you want a sign? You can't talk. You're going to be dumped. 9 months, this guy can't talk. Ah, things are working out well, aren't they? I'll tell you. So, well, then we have, you know, concerning, we wanted to see, like we had the thing, you know, in 6 months, and then Mary came along. And we have with Mary, let me read to you what it says. "Now the angel talked to Mary and told Mary about, she now told her, who is a virgin, God's gonna make you pregnant. You're gonna have a baby. It's gonna be the Son of God." I mean, what a thing he said to her. This guy, the priest, having a hard time believing that God can have an organ. Yet he has from scripture about Abraham was old and God gave him a child. See, you know what? Don't know the past, you're probably gonna be faithless in the future. See, this is a people. We sit today, we have all our things that we do that really leave us many times in an area of faithlessness. Now listen to this. So the angel tells Mary all of this stuff and says to her, now she had asked the question, "How can this be? I'm a virgin. You said I'm going to go." And then he explained to her how it was going to happen. Then, verse 38, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed." What did she say? Look, this is out there. "I'm a virgin. I'm going to get pregnant by God." She just didn't question it. She said, "Okay, all right. Let it be to me like you said." The priest, now let's not knock Zacharias. Because I'll guarantee you, you've done worse than that. Now, this is very interesting because God commends Mary on this then through Elizabeth. Mary goes visits Elizabeth because the angel told her that Elizabeth had a child. So she went to visit Elizabeth. When she went to visit Elizabeth, when she first saw Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit came on Elizabeth and she prophesied. And listen what she said, verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord. Can you imagine? She prophesied. God said, blessed is her she believed. Hallelujah. I just want to say this to you. The word got to be good enough. I'm sorry, but in the so-called faith movement today, the word ain't good enough no more. People have to have something else. They just can't take what the word says. The word says it, it's enough. If God has said it, it is enough. That's what pleases God. An angel appeared. See, people say that they want somebody to pray. They want something to happen. They want a supernatural experience. A supernatural experience means nothing. A supernatural experience, if it's from God, will have words said to bring a revelation. And it's whether you believe those words and you will act upon them. Don't matter what you saw. Doesn't matter. What we see is not important. Faith comes by hearing. Faith don't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. If it's God revealing, God has words. Why? Faith comes from believing words and then saying words. See, we want to act on something different today. We want something different. God reveals His Word when man believes the Word. Now, it's important. God planned when He would send His Son, the Messiah. You know, in Galatians 4 in verses 4 and 5 says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons. But God says in the fullness of time, God sent His Son in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, in other words, the time that God planned to send His Son was a miserable time on the earth for Israel. It was a terrible time. They're a nation under bondage. So you think America and you got problems today in America? You don't know nothing compared to what it was like for Israel during that time being dominated by Rome. It would be exactly today if the Chinese were running America and you'd be under the Chinese. See, we don't know. We sit and talk about things and we don't have an understanding of these things. What it was like living. It's like I said last week, 90% of the people are poor. People are selling themselves into slavery. This is a miserable time. This is not an easy. People have hard, hard lives. Inflation's not the problem. There's no money. It isn't your dollar isn't worth nothing. You ain't got no dollars. Don't get no worse than that. The ruling class are religious. And they hate the poor people. So they hate 90% of the people. And they don't like them. And they don't think those folks could, God even listens to them or pays attention to them. And we wonder why. See, this is the reason why God came, when He sent His Son focused on that class because they were the class that God said that nobody, God wouldn't focus on. And that's who God said, that's who I'm focused on. I want to tell you, you need to understand patterns. God's going to come and focus on people today. And there's people who just think they're just wonderfully good and they're just marvelous and these other people are too bad. But you watch, God is going to come and visit them. And a lot of religious people, even among the Spirit-filled, are going to be thrown by all of this. And I don't believe this is God. Jesus is still going after the sinner. God will reveal Himself. We'll look at some of these things as we go on in these teachings about this. In Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth in Him. In this second coming, in our redemption, God's going to gather everything together. Again, in His time. He set a time for this. He has set a time. Just as in Israel, God had laid out a picture of the time in the Old Testament, if you follow prophecy. But yet Israel didn't see it. Israel didn't understand it. They were waiting, and just like the things that they are, they were waiting for the Messiah come and to set them free from the Roman Empire. They wanted to be set free, and they're waiting for the Messiah. Do you know, what would have, you think might have happened if Israel would have accepted the Messiah? See, we need to understand, history of the Bible that's laid out past the coming of Christ to Israel, that all that past is given by God because of what man rejected and what man didn't receive and what ones did receive. We could have went, the world could have went from Christ coming, Israel taking its place worldwide with Christ ruling and reigning, and went right to the millennium. That was possible. But God knew man wasn't going to choose that. Man wasn't going to choose that. Just think of the people that God had established that He set to bring His Messiah to, that were really going to be the leader to bring God to the world, didn't become the leaders to bring God to the world. They didn't become the leading nation. They had people of their nation who did, but not nationally, they didn't do it. Nationally, they didn't do it. Nationally, they rejected Christ. Sort of like where we are in America today. Nationally, we rejected Christ. Thank God there's people who still love Jesus. Hallelujah. There's still people in America God can use. But nationally, we've rejected it. And so we see it follows the same pattern. God has His plans, but God doesn't override the plans of man. So God has a plan that He wants to do. Now, in the days of the Messiah was going, Messiah came, we're going to first, I'm going to go over the areas. We'll talk about, I don't know when we'll get around talking about the birth of Christ, but we want to look at the fact when the Messiah came, one thing that God did that they understood and knew about. They knew that there was a guy going to come, there was some, a prophet going to come on the scene who was going to introduce, be the introducer of the Messiah, the guy that was going to be come beforehand. He was they used the term forerunner. He was going to be a forerunner of the Messiah. So when this guy, there's prophecies that tell about this individual, Isaiah, in the Isaiah verse chapter 40. And in verse 3 says about him, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, the Messiah shows up. The glory of God is going to be revealed. See, when you think about it, what is the glory of God? See, we think of glory, we think of just something shining and somewhere. Did Jesus walk around glowing all the time? Did Jesus walk around, was He not like a man? See, people didn't recognize God's glory. They didn't recognize it. Today, the average Christian doesn't recognize, most preachers don't even know what the glory of God is. You know, the glory of God is right on me now, anointing me to preach. It's the glory of God. We don't, in the church world, we don't recognize the glory of the God. It has to be a shining, it's got to be a cloud. It's got to be, this is the glory. No, the glory walked among us, and God in His Word revealed to them who it would be. They couldn't see it because they didn't believe the Word. Is number one, they interpreted the Word by how they thought about things. This is very, we have to be very careful in this area, because this is what happens. Men get ideas and things about stuff that we believe, and we get ideas of how we think things are, and the Word of God may not be exactly saying that. But we will measure what goes on based on the way we believe it. And this is what they did. They couldn't see the Messiah. The Messiah comes. A people. Now just think about it. The religious leaders of the day are looking for the Messiah. He comes and walks among them, and the majority of them all miss it. Nicodemus shows up. He's in the Sanhedrin. This guy's a Pharisee. He's in the Sanhedrin. He said, we know you're a teacher sent from God because God's with you. We know you're from God, but we ain't going to accept you the way it is because it doesn't fit the way we handle things. It doesn't fit the way we do that. So it couldn't be God. I remember back during the charismatic renewal, I remember the spirit-filled churches who turned down the move of God. They didn't like what was going on. If it was, this was God, he wouldn't be filling Catholics and Presbyterians with the Holy Ghost. He'd be over here at our church. Well, he couldn't fill them with the Holy Ghost for nothing. They were so darn religious. And they're thinking. Instead of rejoicing that God was doing something for somebody else, they got upset. So glad that God was moving. My God. And we will have the same kind of things will be happening, and you will see it with your eyes. I've watched it go on. I've been in places in the world, and I've watched it, moves of God start, and the religious get mad. I've been in places and stuff and ministered and watched religious people get mad when the Holy Ghost starts moving. And it goes down, and the Holy Ghost blesses somebody in the congregation that they think is too bad to get blessed. And you know what? I've noticed this. God is drawn to them to make those other ones mad. It's the guy we don't think should be the blessed, somebody else ought to get it. God's going to go bless that person just because you didn't like it. Because he wants, God blesses people. But see, I've had that all the time. People come along and, well, I don't understand God doing that. That person over there, they're not this or that. God's trying to rechange it. But you know, with a person with faith, I found this many times. Most people who are religious have very little faith. They're self-righteous. They have faith in their goodness. And they look at this other guy, and this other guy they don't like has more trust in God because he's not trusting his goodness at all. He knows if he gets something, it's going to have to be from God's goodness. And the righteous guy, or this religious righteous guy, he thinks God's going to bless him because he's nice. And don't know, he's 100 miles further away from God than that man is. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this guy, this publican over here. Sure glad I'm not like... He was 100 miles further away from God than the guy over here. He was self-righteous. This move of God coming is not going to be self-righteous. They never are. And self-righteousness has a tough time with moves of God. Has a really hard time with it. It has a very hard time with moves of God. Hallelujah. Say, why God bless them? They did this and they did that. Hallelujah. I've learned this a long time. God doesn't bless me because I hit the mark a lot. Many times he has blessed me because I just believed him for a blessing. And he was good. And his goodness endures forever. Hallelujah. And, you know, this is one thing is dealing with the areas of mercy and grace. Hallelujah. God blesses us based on his performance and what he's done. That doesn't mean we try to live in sin. But I'll tell you what, you can't throw your holiness in his face. I'll tell you, he'll spit on it and leave. It's worthless. Hallelujah. We want to follow God. Hallelujah. I want to read to you about this guy. We want to know about this John the Baptist because we can see a pattern with him that we can see that it'll help us understand what God is doing in this day for the return of Christ. Because if we go to, I'm going to read over in Mark the first chapter. I'm going to start with the first verse there, Mark the first chapter. It says this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So we get a verification that we're going to be dealing with the person in the fulfillment of Scripture. Now he says here, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. This is John's gospel. This is the gospel. In fact, Jesus preached this gospel. This was the gospel of Jesus. Jesus didn't pray, believe on him and be saved. They couldn't believe on him. He hadn't died, wasn't raised from the dead. I want you to understand this. If the gospel of that day required that men's sins be dealt with to meet the Messiah, do you think it's going to be any different today? No. This is why we have in the church world today this sloppy grace preaching. You don't have to repent. Isn't this interesting? Kenneth Hagin, back in September 2nd, 1950, visitation from the Lord, and the Lord says this, many of my people were not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. To get ready to meet the Messiah the first time, you had to repent. See, sin will always stand between you and God. You can't allow to. You need to understand this. See, today we have this unholy Christianity. That's why when we sin, we confess our sin faithfully. Keep ourselves clean before God. So in other words, you and I missed the mark. God made it very easy for us through Christ Jesus. We just confess our sin. Why? Keeps us clean before God. It's about fellowship. See, people, you know what? We're going to heaven. We're going to be changed bodies. Why? To go fellowship with God. We're going to be in His presence all the time, in fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. Everybody today, you can't have communion and time with God with sin standing in the way. It breaks fellowship. Man can't live in sin and have fellowship with God. Why? God can't fellowship with sin. Because His character is holiness. You know, if God just hung out with people that sinned and just went over and spiritually hung out with sin, well, whoever had it was going to walk in sin and end up dead. You see, fellowship, that's why He says that. It's about fellowship. See, if a person sins and says they have fellowship, He said they lie. And now we have preaching today that, oh no, you don't have to confess your sin. You're everything's okay. He took care of all that, your sin. And here we are. Why? Why is the devil doing this now? The devil knows the Messiah is coming for the church, and he wants people not to be ready. That's what he wants. So he brings out these deceiving stuff. He starts revealing to people, make them think they got a revelation from God. Man, you know, it's hard. You know, repentance is this. Repentance is a changing of mind. The church got to change its mind that sin ain't all right. It's left it. It thinks sin's all right. Because I'm saved, sin's all right. Repentance is a changing of a mind. Then you change direction. You can't walk the direction of sin and have fellowship with God. You see, this is what's going on. Nothing's changed, folks. Nothing. The same devil is doing the same stuff. And he's doing the same stuff from the beginning. From Genesis till today. He has not changed. People, oh, well, he's so diabolical. He's no more different than he was. He's a scumbag sinner, lying, cheating, trying to carry people off to hell. That's what he's doing. He's always been doing that. That's what he does. He ain't changed. He didn't get smarter. He hasn't learned a thing. In 4,000 years from Genesis, he did nothing, didn't gain a bit of brains. He crucified the Lord of glory and sealed his own destiny to be in the lake of fire forever. Well, that was a genius move. And he said if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Too late, bud. You did it. Set in motion your own demise. He's not brilliant, but there's one thing he does. Why people are always looking, they want an easy way out of everything. That's the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to have to deal with nothing. You know, God, you do it all, and then I just sit back and, you know, with a remote control in my hand, and I just, that's what we're doing. And it doesn't go that way. John, he came baptizing, preaching a baptism of repentance from the mission of sin. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went to him and were all baptized by him in Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Now that was common of a prophet to be dressed. That was one of the things. Prophets wore, their garb was usually a hairy type garment. You'll notice that sometimes, like Elijah was referred to as being a hairy man. Well, he wasn't talking about being hairy. Is he wore like a camel's hair. That's what they wore a belt with a girdle around it. And that was, they recognized as a prophet. That's why when you went around a prophet, they would know who the prophets were on the way they dressed. Today, you don't know who ministers are. They made guys with the worst torn up jeans in the crowd. Yeah, skinny jeans and his underwear over the top of the thing. That's the pastor. Says verse 7, and he preached saying, there comes one after me who's mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize with water, but he will baptize you in with the Holy Spirit. Now Matthew, in Matthew 3:11, Matthew wrote and said that he said he baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. But we want to see this. Even though people were looking for the Messiah, we have a man announcing the Messiah is about to be revealed. He's telling them. A guy is telling them the Messiah. This is the guy who's a fulfillment of Scripture. Many believe he is the guy. But yet they don't recognize. He's telling them. The Messiah is about to show up. The whole problem is when the Messiah shows up, he doesn't fit their idea of what the Messiah should be. Number one, they don't realize he was born in Bethlehem, but the Bible says that he was going to be called out of Egypt, and he did. He was in Egypt for a while. See, they didn't get all this stuff. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit reveal, they discarded their ideas. He went up, and the Bible tells us that he was going to be called a Nazarene, and he went and lived up in Nazareth. And the same guys that said they're looking for the Messiah, when he came along and they said, well, he's from Nazareth, what good can come out of Nazareth? Well, the Bible said the Messiah, you morons. But see, when people have their ideas and beliefs, it no matter matters anymore what the Bible says. Because the Bible is interpreted by my beliefs, not by what it says. It's interpreted by my beliefs. This is one of the things that I always loved about Kenneth Hagin. Most people follow men, and they will follow a person. What I always loved about Kenneth Hagin, he used to always tell us all the time, the thousands of times he would say, you look in the Bible, you make sure the Bible says it. You go to the Word. You study the Word. The Word is what you go to. Jesus said in the one vision kind of thing, concerning the end times, he said, you know, people are going to be deceived. He said, if you're not going to be deceived, he said, number one, follow the Word. Number one, the Word. Number one, the Word. Not number one, the preacher. Not number one, your favorite preacher. Not number one, your favorite preacher. Number one is the Word. What does the Word say? He said in the Spirit, and you need to understand this, you need the Word and the Spirit, number one. You will never know Jesus, and you'll never know what He's going to do without those two first. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, the move of the Holy Ghost, because that's important in this last move of God, you need to understand. God did many things out in the open for them. You and I are supposed to know a lot of things by the Spirit, and people ain't listening to the Spirit. People are waiting, they're buying, wait until somebody brings out their book. They're waiting for all this, and then God, this next great message that's going to reveal it all. Well, if it don't reveal it in line with the Word, burn it. It's about the Word. It must be, revelations must be in line with the Word. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin to teach him about dealing with demons. And he really didn't know nothing about it. And when Jesus told him that he wasn't going to do nothing about demons. He had to. And he said to Jesus, he said, I said to him, I can't accept this doctrine unless you can show me by two or three witnesses in the Word that what you're saying is the truth. And he said, Jesus verily kindly told him, I'll give you five. You see, he said he wouldn't believe it unless he could see it in the Word. Most people, they're only interested in visions and dreams and all that kind of stuff. Show me in the Bible. Don't give me one scripture. That's why I go through so many scriptures, go through so much stuff. I've thought about it because Kenneth Hagin said, I've always been like an attorney, always laying out my case in the law, which we don't have today with judges. They don't do that anymore. But I want to tell you, you lay your case out by the Word. That's how you lay it out. Preachers that, tell you one scripture and then preach for 2 hours, good thing, you better listen to what you heard saying. You lay a case out in the Word. The Word's your foundation, folks. It's your foundation. It's your foundation. It's a place that you can stand secure. Just like we look at the prophecies of the past, back to Genesis. I can stand secure on what was said in Genesis as much as I can stand secure by what has been said in Revelation. I can stand secure. It's the Bible. Men can miss it. The Word never does. And the Holy Ghost never does. You have a security, folks. God has given you. Use it. Use that security. Hallelujah. It's like your computer. They tell you to use an antivirus. Have one. It's the same way. It's your antivirus to your life. It's going to keep the devil at bay in your life, knowing the truth. Because that's where you're going to stand in faith. That's the place that you're going to stand and be. Hallelujah. These people were looking for the Messiah. They don't know where this Messiah is. They don't know. The average person, even though they're told, they went out there to John. But people aren't paying attention. Remember Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said to the Pharisees, about the Pharisees. He said, listen to what they preach, but don't do what they do. See, if you have a dual life, you're always going to be misled. He said, listen to what they say. When they were reading, saying the scripture said something, they were right. The scripture said it. He said, but don't follow them because they don't do the scriptures. Now, I'm sure they thought they were following the scriptures. They had their interpretation. Jesus told them, hey, listen to what the Word says. Don't do what they do. Make sure you get the right interpretation. Let God reveal to you. You have the Holy Spirit in you as a teacher to bring light to the Word for you to understand and comprehend. You have it. Man, that's your security. That's what holds you, folks. The Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. It isn't your spirit bearing witness with what I'm saying. It's what the Holy Spirit's teaching. What's the Holy Spirit saying? What's the Holy Spirit revealing concerning the Word? It's one thing as God has me now, just going back, I've been just reading the Word, studying things in the Word, going through the Word, putting stuff together from the Word, laying things out, taking things from their start to their end, and just doing notes on taking things out to what the Bible says. Why? Our doctrine needs to get right. The church has a lot, and I'm talking about people up in the top have a lot of misleading doctrine, a lot of error in them. They have a lot of good things, but there's a lot of junk in between. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. Today, everybody eats it all. They're eating the whole thing. Don't eat the whole thing. If there are sticks, you won't find anybody that don't have any sticks in their stuff. Everybody will have a stick in it. There's certain ways we believe things. And as you go along and you grow, you find out. Like, I found out my words is different than I thought. It's different. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Spirit. Rely on Him. He's in you. Glory to God. Now look at John. John is revealing to people. So John's running around here telling everybody about The Messiah is coming. Now look at John 1 in verses 29 through 33 in the Gospel of John. John, here you have John. John is going to identify the Messiah. He says in verse 29, he says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He publicly announced it. Now this guy's going to say and tell the Messiah's coming. He makes, here's the guy that God sent. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy. People believe he is. They're down there taking the baptism. God, John says this guy's the Lamb of God. Now we know that there's a couple of the apostles who were, had been following John. They've been following John's men. They turned around left and followed Jesus. Wouldn't you think most of the crowd would have left and followed Jesus? Hey, hold, we're looking for the Lamb of God. No, we got our religious system now that John's running and that's where we're going to stay. It's more about the system. See, we like system. We like things. It isn't about following God. It's staying with the system. We love the systems. That's why I get people all the time. They have an encounter with God, but they love their church system more and they stay in a church system that'll kill them because they love their church system. The system is the most important thing. Boy, things ain't changed, have they? I remember Kenneth Hagin say this. He said, I never understand. People come, said our meetings get filled with the Holy Ghost and go back and live in their old dead church. And he said, within a few years, they're as dead as they were when they came to the meeting. It's just the same thing all over again. Don't change. I've watched people do it over the years. I've seen it. I've had friends who came along to me and said, well, God told me to stay over here in our church. He's going to use me to turn it around. Never one time did he ever use any of them to ever turn around. I've watched it time and time again. Never did they become a person who turned that church around. Never. Never happened. See, they get over there and they get misled. How do you get misled? Well, the Bible says, another one, you don't take a person who's a novice and put them at the head. God would have never put them at the head that's going to turn the thing around when they ain't the head. And they're a novice to begin with. Because the problem with a novice is it, they'll get a big head. Yeah. See, just because you got something for God don't mean, man, you know, you got a little bit, don't mean now, you know, I'm just going to take over the world. That's a sign of immaturity. We've all been there, you know. We got a little revelation for God and thought, man, I'm at the top now. Well, I've learned a long time ago now. This kind of thing. You get revelation from God, I probably need a few more revelations. It's when God is ready to bring you out. I found this over the years. When God was ready to bring me out, I didn't think I was ready to come out. I didn't think I was. The days that I thought I was ready, I wasn't. But when I didn't think I was, he said, now you're ready to come out. See, when you lose your ambitions, God may be able to use you. You never know. Because, see, serving God is this. God being able to do through you what he wants, not you doing something. And you know what? It requires humility. It requires you to lay down your thinking and your ambitions about stuff and your things and letting God do his thing. It's not always easy to do that. You find out in natural life. It isn't like always easy to lay something down and let somebody else. Now, I've watched over the years of people, they get upset that somebody they don't feel should have a position. And this person gets promoted in a position and they get all upset. And I know this. They needed that. They needed to come to the place to realize that maybe the other person isn't perfect, but they're not. They think they should be. I should be the one. They're full of them. When they got, if they got that position, they'd have a bunch of people not liking them too. Self-promoters. You're a self-promoter. The Bible says you're going to end up being abased. I think it's more like embarrassed. But see, we need to understand these. We need to get back over in the scripture. Stay with the word of God. What God has called you to, he is well able to bring you into it. All you got to do is follow what he's told you to do. You're in the will of God when you're doing what God told you to do. If you're trying to impress people, forget it. You missed it. You're already off. Well, people might not think much of me and mine. You know, this person's doing all of this and doing all of that. There's many people doing a lot of things God never called them to do at all. It's men's doing. We got huge churches here in America. It's all men's doing. It's not God's. It's full of junk. It's full of the goodness of men. But you know what? People want to be noticed by people. You know, like, wow, they might consider me nothing. I don't care what they think. What I like about this, God talks to me a lot. Hallelujah. I have fellowship with God. Man, I've learned this over the years. That's the top of the list. That's the top of the list. Fellowship with God. When God will still talk to you. People are always talking their ideas. I want to know God's ideas. I've done most of my ideas already. They didn't necessarily work out so well. So I just, say, God, I need some new ones that aren't mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Listen to what John said. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John makes an announcement of this one, tells us, here he is. The guy I've been saying looking for, here he is. Where's all these crowds that are following John? You'd think, man, whew. I'm sorry. I mean, to me, it's like, wow, he's the one we've been in. But see, people aren't listening to words. See, John has a crowd. You know, John, some of his followers got upset because Jesus' crowds were getting larger than John's, and they got upset. Scriptures tell us they didn't like that. John said, no, I got to decrease. He has to increase. But you know what? People still like the system. I like the system. See, I went out there and did that thing with John and it did me good. I went out there and repented and stuff. It did me good. Now, I just want to stay. It's like Christianity Day. I want to stay at the cross. Cross Christianity. That's all we got. America's full of cross Christianity. The place of sin and death. We have a death Christianity. There was a resurrection. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's a seated at the right hand of God. That's not what we emphasize. We emphasize death and baby Jesus. Death and baby Jesus, they're the biggies. They're the biggies. Not life and seated at the right hand of God. All authority in earth given to us by Jesus Christ himself. Authority over devil. We can cast him out. Lay hands on the sick. All those. That's not important. It's not important that author was. What's important is baby Jesus and the cross. That's what's important. Yet the scripture says if Jesus died, wasn't raised from the dead, didn't do you a bit of good. Paul wrote that. But see, it's been in scriptures. People have their yearly readings through the Bible and still haven't seen it. Why? Because the cross is so sacred. The cross is what's become sacred. I thought it was the sacrifice that was sacred. No, it's the cross. We don't walk wearing the sacrifice, we wear the cross. Jesus ain't living in our life. It's the death. Hallelujah. It's good preaching anyhow, folks. It's our thinking. And see, this stuff has been for centuries taught and preached and thrown in our face. And the majority of churches, the cross is the big thing. Throwing the cross, singing "Stay Near the Cross," near, you know, and all this kind of stuff. They're singing that stuff. You know, they're singing these things. And the church has stayed near death all the time. And have always felt themselves as unworthy. Yet God has given them the authority in heaven. That God doesn't move in this earth without us releasing our authority. And man don't even know it. The church has no clue. They're out asking Jesus to do what he gave them the authority to do. Whatever we ask in his name. No, not them. Well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. You know. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. This is the religion of the day. Why? Because we didn't bother following the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You know, we look at this guy. Who was this? Was this guy who was John the Baptist? Micah said about him. Micah made this statement in the Micah. This is another one of those Old Testament, you know, places where you go read a lot. You know, you spend a lot of study time there in meditation, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a lot of good words in this Bible you got, folks. There's a lot of good words around there. Now look, I spend the majority of my time. One thing is my searches. I study things in the Old Testament, but I look to the light of the New Testament for revelation about the things that are said. But you know what? If you only just stay in the New Testament, you won't know about those other things back there. The two of them together work good. Now in Micah, in the fourth chapter, fifth verse says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children of the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, they knew about this. In fact, the Pharisees came to John the Baptist and asked him if he was the Elijah. And you know what he said? No. I'm not. They said, "Did Elijah come?" I always found this interesting until I listened to Kenneth Hagin on some stuff to understand a few things as I grew up a little bit. He said he wasn't the Elijah to come yet. Now listen, this is Jesus in Matthew the 11th chapter. This is what Jesus says. Matthew the 11th chapter, verse 12, Jesus said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied until John." Then he says, "And if you are willing to receive it, he is the Elijah who is to come." See, well, why did he say he wasn't? John the Baptist would not exalt himself. He wouldn't exalt his ministry. His ministry was like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never exalts his ministry. He exalts Jesus. This is why people have a hard time understanding the Holy Spirit. That's why, you know, I used to always tell the story when I was in Bible school and in Tulsa. It was this spring of... of 89, before I graduated, and the Lord told me I wasn't supposed to go to prayer school. He told me to, because prayer school, it was something you could go in the afternoon if you wanted to. If you were off work or something, you could go to prayer school they had. But it wasn't a regular school, a study thing that they did. You'd go in there and they would teach in some on prayer and you'd spend time praying. And so I would go because it was just a good time to listen, spending time in prayer. And then, but the Lord said to me, "I want you to go out." He said, to the reservoir where I used to go out and walk around there and pray, or used to walk around. I would run around there and do stuff, and I would always go out there because I could be by myself. And I went out the reservoir, and I went out there, and the Lord said, "I want you to go out there. I want to talk to you." And that's where I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit for 20 minutes to a half an hour. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. We had a conversation just like I would be sitting here talking to any one of you right now. I mean, I would ask a question and he would it seemed like an audible answer. I'd hear this voice would speak to me. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. But one thing is I learned with him, he exalts Jesus and Jesus is number one. And if you don't want to do Jesus stuff, he don't want to have nothing to do with you either. You don't treat Jesus in a bad way and the Holy Spirit, you are ever going to get along. He is completely zealous of Jesus. He never, the Word tells us he doesn't exalt himself. The Bible says he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He doesn't exalt himself. He doesn't do his own. He's never doing his own thing. Never. His whole ministry is to reveal Jesus Christ. That's why he's the teacher of the Word. He reveals. He takes what belonged to Jesus and shows it to us. And you need to learn that about the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was very much in the same time. He didn't have a ministry. It wasn't about him. It was about the one to come. See, there's the things we can learn from John from the standpoint about humility. I learned this over the years, how you stay out of deception. When this men start getting exalted, I start backing away. It's never, God's not exalting men. The Holy Ghost exalts Jesus. That's why when I sit in a meeting out in Tulsa there and sit in a meeting and they're making a big deal over this woman who had oil pouring out of her hands, and that's all it was, an exhibition show of her. And I knew this wasn't God, because it was exalting a person, and everybody's focused on this person. They weren't focused on God. The oil pouring out of her hands was a big deal. Big name minister stood up and said, God said she's supposed to lay hands on us, and I got up and left. I said, she ain't laying her hands on me. They found out later this whole thing was demonic. They found out it wasn't God. Because, see, it's one thing. The Holy Spirit does not exalt men. That's why when God told Jesus, he said, be careful of the three G's. The gold, the glory, and the girls. The gold, the glory, taking glory into yourself. That's when you start drawing attention to you. Taking what God does for you, through you, you take that glory to yourself and make it so people look at you. Look at me. Ain't I something? No, he's always the something. You keep people focused on Jesus. Jesus is the healer. Kenneth Hagin he'd have healing meetings, and he'd always tell people, he said, I can't heal a gnat's eyeball. He said, Jesus is the healer. I just lay hands on people. That's what I do. See, you get all these people. I don't like these healing evangelists. Jesus is the healing evangelist. You don't like Jesus? He's the healer. The Bible says in his name we lay hands on people. It didn't say we heal people, does it? It said we lay hands on people. We do. We the lays hands. And he's the healer, and he's always going to be the healer. He is the healer. If you can do it without him, then get with the program. Do it. Let's see it happen. We lay hands on the sick and they recover, it says. Hallelujah. So we just follow the pattern that he set up. Hallelujah. That he has established. Glory to God. So the Elijah to come is here. And Jesus said he was. He said, this guy is the one. This is the one here. In Luke talks about, in Luke 1:17, it talks about John the Baptist, and it says, he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts. He made that. He's going to go. So that's what John did. John went in the power of the spirit of Elijah. See, many of them are looking for the ministry of Elijah to come, that Elijah's coming back. Elijah's not coming back. Elijah himself is not coming back. People go over and talk about the two prophets in the book of Revelation, and they say, oh, that's going to be Elijah. And then, go jump, it's not going to be. People just don't understand. What I want you to get to this is, we see a pattern with God and God revealing the Messiah the first time. There's a pattern. Is God going to use a different pattern in the last day? I tell you not, he won't. In the last day, and here's one thing that we need to know as a church, as you as a Christian, is this. There will be differences on some things on how they're done. We need to understand this. In the Old Covenant, when we're looking at the Gospels really are not the New Testament. They are not New Testament. The Gospels, Jesus was a prophet operating under the Old Covenant. It wasn't until he was raised from the dead. Really, we have from the book of Acts on, is a look at the new covenant. That's what the new covenant is. That's when the new covenant started working, things going to that. That time before, the Gospels, the four Gospels, reveal the ministry of the Messiah as a prophet, as a man under the old covenant. He came and fulfilled the law. So we see that. Nobody was born again then. No one was born again. We're dealing, and understand, when you look at these people from that period on back, we're dealing with people who are not born again. They don't have the Spirit bearing witness with their spirit. They don't have that. That's not going on. There's only certain people that are anointed by God to do things. So the average person knows nothing about the Holy Spirit bearing witness. They don't know that. On this side, the church is a completely different group of people. We're completely different. Number one, we are born again. We have the nature of God. We have been born of the nature of God. We are not like the Old Testament saint at all. They were a type and shadow of something to come. We are the something to come. Jesus Christ's resurrection opened the door to what was to come. We're born again. We have the nature of God. We don't have the sin nature. Our spirit man doesn't, that's completely different than them. They had the sin nature. We don't. That's why when people sit down and say, oh, you know, they look back at the Old Testament, what they call Old Testament saints, and they look, oh man, weren't they something? They folk weren't even born again. We're the ones that are something. We are the ones that they look to the promises ahead. When that day when the Messiah would come, it was going to change it all. And the church is always looking for something better. People baptized in the Holy Ghost looking for power. Who ever heard anything so stupid in your life? The Holy Ghost living in you and you need power? What do you got better than God? Is there another God someplace or something? With a power pack of some sort? Or what is it? I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and I need power. It's, folks, it's our thinking. We read the Scriptures, but that's not how we think in line with the Scriptures. We're not thinking in line with them. We're always trying to get something we have. You got. If you learn this, your prayer life will become dynamic. When you talk to God about what you got, instead of what you're trying to get. When you start dealing with Him about what He gave you and what He's going to do in you, making that thing work, now you got a team. See, the church is sort of like the people employed at a place and don't use the tools and stuff the employer gives you. And we're always asking the employer, you know, get your tools out and come down here and fix this thing. When you have the tools, He has them all there for you. But I don't wait for the employer to come, you know. And what He's done, He's given you all the tools you need to do the job. But we ain't doing the job. We're waiting for the employer to come and do the job. Now we say, oh yeah, boy, I'm in a good place of employment. Boy, He's nice. Pays me a good wage and that kind of stuff. But we don't get much done on the job. Because I'm waiting for Him to go to work. No, we haven't. See, we got to change the way we think. This is why when we're looking at the end of the age, we're coming up to our full redemption. This is what Jesus was looking for. Jesus wasn't set on the birth thing. He was set on the fullness of redemption when the church would get its full redemption and have its glorified body and God's people would be with Him. Jesus is interested and the Father's interested in the ending, not the beginning. The church lives at the beginning. They live at the cross. They live at the beginning. Everything's the beginning. And instead of focusing at the end, the glory is at the end. See, you got to keep the glory before you. We talk about moving from glory to glory. The church can't go from glory to glory because they love to look at the cross. The cross bought me glory. I'm taking the glory and I'm going on to glory. I'm not staying at the cross. Hallelujah. You see, get a picture. God has been moving through eons of time to bring it to the place where the day is going to come that Jesus Christ is going to show up. And there's going to be a redeemed church. There are going to be a people that are going to be human gods. They're going to be just like Him. They're going to have the nature of God in glorified human bodies. Two realms, the spirit and the physical realm, are going to be joined in us. Just like right now. Jesus is the first one that the physical realm and the spirit realm were joined together as one. And we're going to have it happen. Glory to God. We can operate between the two realms. Not being affected by sin, not being affected by the flesh and what it... I'll tell you, you talk about glory. That's such glory to come. See, that's why when Paul wrote about things, look at these, it's hard, things are hard to understand. Peter said, you know, Paul talks about this stuff, it's hard to understand. Why? Sometime looking around, I can't imagine what this is going to be like when you and I get the new body. Do you realize that there is no, we're going to step into a realm where there's no time anymore. Time no longer exists. We always just are. There's no distance. Zero distance. See, we don't understand this. We have the idea when people out here praying, they say God is up in heaven. There's no distance with God. That's why God is everywhere. There's no distance with Him. In that realm, there is no distance. In that realm, there's no time. See, we do everything. This is why we have a hard time. We pray. We think about healing. We think about time and distance. Our faith is based in time and distance. God wants us to get... God's been talking to me about some of this stuff, and I'll tell you what, I get a little overwhelmed. Because it's like, oh my God. See, He wants to bring revelation. We are close to stepping in this. We are not going to enter as foreigners. God is revealing things if people will listen. And I'll tell you what, when Jesus returns, it's going to be just as natural for us to change. It'll just be natural. That'll be our place. People who still long from the natural will still stay here. People who long for the earth will stay here in the earth. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. I've never said this, thought about this. There's a stepping over. We're going to come to the place of glory where we will be closer to that side than we are to this side. I understand. Randall Greer said this, and I understand now. He said this. He said, people are going to get caught up in the glory. Christians will get caught up in the glory before Jesus comes for weeks on end. And he said this. He said the Lord told him that people won't even realize that they're even in the natural realm for weeks on end. I understand now because what the Holy Spirit just said. We're going to be more tied to that side than we are this side. There's a glory coming. Hallelujah. Just like with these things. See, God has done things. God has done things. In what way has God changed things? And just let me say this to you. These are things that are downright important. When Kenneth Hagin was born, and I've talked about this before, but when his mother, it's just like God using someone. His mother wasn't a very spiritual woman. She was a Christian, but she had messed up life. She married a man she shouldn't have married. Her family told her she shouldn't have married him. He came from a pretty, you know, well-to-do family, but he was a spoiled brat. And they got married, and her parents didn't want her to marry him, but she married anyhow, and she said, well, if I made my bed hard, I'll lay in it. Well, then, in pride, that's what she tried to do, and But she almost killed her kids and stuff and things over to it. Ended up in her life going almost insane and went sort of insane for a while. Actually went blind because of nervousness and stuff and things. Went on. Now see, this is what you got to understand. Isn't it amazing? And this, all this confusion and this mess, God brings a child out that he has a plan for. See, now surely he would have bought him out of some big minister's home. I have found this out over the years. And I don't care who it's been. Most big ministers, their kids are a letdown. I'm sorry, but most of them are. Don't say everyone is, but most of them are. And I'll tell you why. Because they've never by themselves had to walk and get a hold of things. There's a lot of things that they have gotten because of from their parents. And that happens. That's why we have to watch as parents. Lots of times parents in Christianity never make their children grow up spiritually. They become God for them. And the child never grows up. We really worked at that, Wanda and I did, to have our kids know God themselves. It's really a hugely important thing. You got to teach your kids to trust God too. Trust God. I used to tell my kids when they were little, I say, one day daddy will be gone. You need to know God. You need to know. See, that's a hugely important thing. See, it's one thing to step into a big ministry. It's another thing to build one. It's a whole different thing of the purchase. See, and you realize that things like I always often thought with Kenneth Hagin. You know, I received things from Kenneth Hagin and I used to think, man, what this guy did to get some of these revelations and understanding that I got, I owe it to take these things and put them to work to learn how to use them myself. Not take for granted that they just, you know, we got this dumped on us. To say, hey, I can learn to practice it. Put these things together. Learn how to walk in them, how important that is. See, we can take a lot of things naturally, you know, we get it. It's easy to get. But it's really learning how to do it. But anyhow, Jesus appeared to her and told her, and it says, it's one day Jesus, she was left her house and was walking down the street to go to her mom's house, and she was heading down through the street, and got near her aunt's house, and anyhow, when she, Aunt Mary's place, and she was walking down through, and she heard like wind blowing through the trees. And, this is down in Texas, and it was during the afternoon, and she stopped and looked around, and there wasn't a bunch of trees there to begin with, but the wind wasn't blowing, and she could hear this wind blowing through trees. So, she started walking again, and she heard it again. And so she looked around and wind wasn't blowing and it wasn't blowing through trees. And she looked up the air and she saw a cloud way up. And she said, this cloud looked strange. It was the only one in the sky. I said, this cloud, it just looks strange. She said, and then it seemed like that cloud was getting closer to me. So that cloud came down. She said, Jesus was standing on that cloud and the cloud come down to her. Now this is, she'd never had an experience like this in her life. She had never had any kind of experience as such. And Jesus told her and said to her that, you know, she wasn't supposed to be worried, concerned. He said the child will be born. Said, he'll bear witness concerning my second coming and speaking his coming for the church. Now this is what he told her. As John the Baptist was the forerunner of my first coming, he'll be the forerunner of my second coming. Said, his ministry will be to get my people ready for my coming. Gee, that's what John the Baptist. See, he's a forerunner. Why? It isn't changed. To getting people ready. His job is going to be to get people ready. Now, it goes on with the rest of it. But anyhow, the whole thing of it is, Kenneth Hagin knew nothing about this, was never told this. Nobody ever talked about it. When she got down, she got scared after Jesus talked to her, and she ran down to her mom's house and ran inside. She came in around, and her mom said, what's wrong with you? She said, it looked like you saw a ghost. And she told her what she saw and what Jesus said to her, and her mom said, don't tell anybody, they'll think you're crazy. And she never talked about it to anyone. That was the only time she ever talked. Now, Jesus told her to name him John, which she didn't do. And anyhow, later on, Kenneth Hagin's in the ministry, and he's a ministry and in stuff for some years. And Jesus never talked to him about this. And one, he had one visitation, and Jesus told him what happened to his mom and what he said about telling, I told her to name you John. He said, of course, you know she didn't do that. But told her what happened and what went on. So he said he went and saw his mom because he wanted to find out. Is it, are you going to verify this is either right or not? And so he tells his mom he saw Jesus and that Jesus told me he appeared to you right before I was born. And he said she stopped dead and she said the first thing she said to him, what did he tell you to name me? And what I was supposed to name you. And he said, John. And said she said it was like somebody stuck her with a pin. Said she jumped. She said, yeah, that's what happened. And told the story. And that's what he told. He was the first he heard about it, of what was said to him, of what his ministry was to do. It was to get people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, there's something that I like that I think Randy Greer did a very good job as doing an explanation in this area of the difference. There is a difference between the two ministries. The two ministries follow the same pattern, but there is a difference between them. John the Baptist in how's the whole thing of the Messiah coming to Israel. There was a difference in this. Kenneth Hagin, God used to bring a movement into the earth to get the church ready. It was a movement came through him. We need to understand what it was about. It wasn't like John the Baptist is making an announcement that the Messiah is coming. The return of Jesus Christ is this. There was revelation in the Word that the church did not have. There's revelation and stuff. If you look at Kenneth Hagin's ministry, you follow his visions that he had where Jesus appeared to him. Every one of those visions was to bring a revelation, something from the Scripture that the church had either lost or left behind. Is to bring those revelations back. In fact, the Lord has told me over the years, there's certain things that I teach, and I'm very repetitive on about teaching because they were revelations given. That's my job. That is my job, is those revelations. Because my job is to get people ready for the return of Christ. That's my anointing. The anointing under the Kenneth Hagin's ministry. Most people missed it and went on to all kind of things. The whole point of his ministry was there's certain things to be ministered and brought to get the church ready. And the church has gotten further away than closer to. Because people, when Kenneth Hagin passed, people, well, even before that, started scattering, doing their own things. People started following their own. It's about getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ. See, that's my ministry. My ministry, because see, I got that anointing. My ministry is to get people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm anointed for. That's why God had me set under that ministry. That's why God did. There's revelations. And so I'll always stay, you know, faith, healing, those things, there's different things, dealing with demons and stuff. Those are all things of revelation that were brought by Kenneth Hagin. Why would God bring these revelations through him if he was supposed to get the church ready and they weren't necessary? Wouldn't it be dumb? See, people don't just use good common sense. They don't use good sense at all. They're always running off to something else. People always had to have something new, you know. We always got to get some kind of new thing. And we're just like little kids. You get a little new thing and just play with it for 15 minutes and give me another new thing. And then we'll play with that a little while and we'll call it church, okay? We'll call it church. We'll play with this a little bit, you know. I've seen more fads and stuff. You know, we got the prayer of Jabez. Hey, guy writes a book and we're all going, oh, this is going to change the world. Yeah, it did. We're less spiritual today than what we were. I mean, there's one scripture in the Bible in the prayer of Jabez, and they write books over it. There ain't enough revelation you could get there to write a paragraph, much less write a book. But people jump on board of everything and they just jump into things and they're getting out there. This is going to really change things. And I watch. I told people this. I said, yeah, oh, they're making a big deal of it. I said, next year there'll be another book. Amen, brother. I hit it not because I'm a prophet. I've been wrong long enough to see this stuff come and go, come and go, come and go. We got a new fad to play with again. But see, it's about getting ready for the return. Just like, see, God sent someone to announce some things. So we have, you know, the prophecies. We have Kenneth Hagin. If we went, you know, Kenneth Hagin's prophecy, the September 2nd, 1950. There is absolutely some marvelous things about this prophecy. They're really pointing to the end times that we need to see. This whole prophecy, I mean, Jesus in 1950, it was said in the September 2nd, 1950. When you go to this, that prophecy, you see, the Lord won't let me away from it because he told me. He said, it was the foundation that I spoke for the end. He said, it's here. There's some things in the church because we don't listen to things that were said by the one that God said, I sent him here for a purpose. I put him in this earth for a purpose to get the church ready. But people don't believe it. And you know, with us, we need to understand today, God expects people to listen to their spirits. And they're not. They follow what they see in the natural. You got to listen. You have the Holy Spirit. The God is not going to just up and reveal and give you, you know, you can ask to see and all you want. But if you ain't listening to the inner man, God ain't going to deal with you a whole much. Most time he's going to deal with you in the inward witness on the inside. That you know things that are right, know things that are wrong. Now, when Kenneth Hagin had that vision concerning, we're talking about the last days. And we're just like John the Baptist, he gave his one. This guy's close behind. Now we look at the fact, seems like hard to us is looking, but there's a movement. Jesus Christ is coming. There's one thing we need to know. So it ain't going to take 10 minutes to get ready for Jesus. It's going to take more than that. See, people need taught and trained, and people have left. We need to understand about revivals and moves of God. And let me just, I want to say some of these things in here about this. One thing, see, in the beginning of it, it says, Jesus said this, America's receiving her last call. Some nations already received their last call and never will receive another one. And he said, the end of all things is at hand. And he said that was repeated 4 or 5 times. But America is receiving, in 1950, America is receiving its last call. So when I was born in here, see, this is what the Lord said to me. When I first got born again, he said, you were called for these last days. That's your ministry of the last days. When I first got born again, that's what he told me. I didn't know what that meant back then. But he said, your ministry is for the last days. Those odds, you know, when I look back at these things and I think, oh my God. He was working things from back yonder. So, but anyhow, America's receiving its last call. So, the last call is going out to America. The last call is going out. There's not going to be another call to America. There is not, read my lips. There is not going to, or Jesus Christ lied here and we'll have to throw all this out. There's not going to be another call to America. This is the one. Now, I want you to get some things because we have to answer some things if these are true or not. Because, see, we can't take parts of this prophecy and say, amen, brother, I love that, but we're going to throw some others out. Now, listen, I went online and looked about this prophecy, and I found a guy. He's a Rhema graduate. But he said, I don't want to talk about any of the negative things in this prophecy. I only want to talk about the positive ones. Well, I thought, you're the problem of what's wrong today. Because he thinks of things that turn around and warn you is a negative thing. Wouldn't you think a good parent would warn a kid if he was doing something that was going to hurt him? Not today. We live in America the stupid. The America that is so dumb, and the Christianity is at the top of the list of stupid. They don't even know what is good or what's bad anymore. We don't know. We think somebody warning somebody is being negative. We've bought all this stupid stuff in the American society. And it is nothing but the society. This is in America. We only want to say nice things. We only say fun things. We only say good things. And then go on Facebook and just blab stuff that is so out there. Go on Twitter and whatever else they do. I don't know. But Jesus went and told them that all the gifts, now listen to this. He went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days. He said, in these last days. Now, I want you to understand, 1950 and 1948 started a healing revival. 1948. The healing revival of the 1950s. See, God does not consider that the revival stopped. You know why things stopped? Because man considered it stopped. Man stopped it, not God. We're praying for a revival that's already here. Listen to what he says. Listen to this. And the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. Now this is 1950 he's speaking from. Now you understand, the healing revivals and things started. I've watched videos of things, aren't they miraculous? Wow. Some of the most awesome things you'd ever see in your life took place. Astounding things. I mean, people that, man, I'm going to tell you what, if they looked like they were dead, it's like the one dealing with was a man laying there. He was a skeleton with skin stretched over him. And I'm serious. That's what it was. If somebody would ask me, I'd have thought he's dead. I thought he'd die. Looked like you'd find somebody in a coffin who had been there for a long time and he'd dehydrated. That's what it looked like. This guy got up and walked around. Took a container of milk and drank it and ate a sandwich, standing there eating a sandwich. Now, he didn't fill out all of it, but this guy's standing there. And I'll tell you, it took a miracle for him to stand. You see that thing, and you sit there and look at it and think, that was definitely God. God was doing something. Now, listen to what he says. He goes on, he said that, we have seen and experienced many healings. Now, up to that time, they did in the 50s. They started there in the early 50s. But he said, we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. Jesus continued, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead. For it is time, listen, for the time for the gift of the working of the miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the area of the miraculous. Jesus said, we have entered into the area of miraculous. He didn't say pray to enter into the area of the miraculous. Did he? Mm-mm. Look at all the years that this prophecy has been around, and what have people done with it? They've read it and marveled. And never acted on it at all. Never believed it was really true because they keep praying like it ain't true. It's good preaching, folks. We might as well admit we missed it. We ain't near as spiritual as we would act like. The church world, and folks, I'm not knocking you. The big name ministers are worse off, many of them, than you are. You got more of the ball than they do. They won't even listen to it because you ain't a big name like them. They won't even listen to it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to admit we're wrong. We've been wrong. I have set before the Lord and say, Lord, you said these things, then it must be true. Lord, if it's not true, and I have to pray, try to get you to get us into this area, you better let us know because this is misleading. And he's never answered me on the subject. So the only thing that I get, it is what it is. You know how many times I've sat before him and say, Lord, here it is. If we're missing it, I want to know. But I don't think he lied to us. And if his words were right, and this is a guy you set to help get things ready, well, he ain't changed his mind on it yet. And you know, I realize he's just like Kenneth Hagin. Randy Greer, the Lord told Randy Greer, he said, Kenneth Hagin, this is right before Brother Hagin died, he said, Kenneth Hagin was not just a prophet, he was an apostle. He said he was the foremost prophet, apostle of the church in the world in these last days. He said, I made him a sent one to the world. He was sent to the world, not just the United States. See, his messages went out all over the world. There's Bible schools, Rhema Bible schools, all over the world. That message went out. And he told him that. He said, he's an apostle. He told Randy, you got to receive him for what he really is. Not just a prophet, he's an apostle. So Randall Greer talked to Brother Hagin about that. Brother Hagin would never admit that he was an apostle. But he would never say no. He wasn't. It's just the way he was. And he said, twice I went to him, I'd say, did I miss it when I said that you were an apostle? And every time he would take him over and tell him the story that happened to his mom going down the street and his calling. And you know what? Actually, that story is a proof he's a sent one. That's what an apostle is, an sent one. He was sent by God. Just like John the Baptist was sent. He was sent, John the Baptist was only sent to Israel. That's what he was sent to. Kenneth Hagin was sent to the world to get these messages, these revelations. They weren't for him and for a certain group. They were for mankind all over the world. They were for the church of Jesus Christ to get these so the church could rise into the place that they had for. Take their place of authority they're supposed to have. Stand in their place of authority. That's what it was about. Those things were for. We've entered. Now listen to what he says. He went on to say, this is Jesus. Many of my people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the word of God and the spirit of God and me, and you will not be deceived. I'm gathering my own together and preparing them, for the time is short. Now, people leaving the move of the spirit. We're having that today. We're seeing that among the spirit-filled people who are spirit-filled, spirit-filled ministry. You can go to churches where spirit-filled used to preach baptism, Holy Ghost. They don't even talk that stuff anymore. They won't allow any. You go to those churches in their meetings and this stuff. You're not allowed to speak in tongues, interpretations. You know, gifts. If a minister comes there to minister for them, you're not allowed to lay hands on anybody. You're not allowed to, and that stuff. They don't want any of that in their churches. These are Rhema graduates and stuff do this stuff. There are places all over that are like that. They got this seeker friendly. We're trying to keep everybody happy. We don't want the devil acting up in our church. And they don't realize he already runs it. It's not about acting up. He runs the things. They don't want these things. I'm seeing, just like here. We take the move of the God. There's a minister I was listening to here in town. I heard him one time, and he was criticizing, people who lay hands on the sick. He was criticizing, these healing evangelists. He knocking this stuff, healing. He don't like healing. See, what's going on? People getting, he's knocking them. So about a year later, then I hear him say, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be saved. You don't need to believe in the virgin birth. See, I'll tell you what. I will guarantee you this. If he don't change soon, he will be doing worse than that. And here's a guy that says he believes in born again. So you can have all this stuff say you believe. I believe this part of the gospel, but we don't believe the rest of it. Jesus said people who move away from the things of the Spirit aren't going to be ready to meet me. He said my people. He ain't talking about sinners. He's not talking about sinners. He said my people. Not going to be ready to meet me. My people. See, we're not giving out warnings today because people just want to have a positive message. What positive can you say to a person who's in definitely spiritual danger? We lie and say it's all right? I don't know. He went on to say that these days, these last days are like, the last day, like in Noah's day. Now listen, this is this prophecy. Now listen to this. Here's what Jesus said in this vision. Warn this generation. Warn them. Oh, I thought we were just supposed to only positive things. Warning, I don't know about you. I think a warning could be a pretty positive thing because it's designed, a warning is designed to help you not have something happen to you. That is bad. A warning, at least it is to me, I would think that a warning. Warn this generation as did Noah his generation. For judgment is about to fall. And these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon. Jesus repeated, this is the last revival. Jesus said, this is the last revival. We are in the last revival. We're not trying to have one. We got to start acting in line with what we have, not trying to get something else. Let's act in line of what we have. I've learned this over the years with God. You start acting in line with what you got, no telling what you're going to end up with. He said, judgment is coming, but I will call my people away, even unto myself, before the worst shall come. But be thou faithful, watch and pray, for the time of the end of all things is at hand. We're running down on the end of these things, folks. We're talking about these. We're talking about it coming. You know, people over Christmas time, is this all the time of the year? We need to understand what time period we're in. We can get as festive as we want, but people don't understand the time we're in. We don't understand where we're at. The warnings are out. Just think, God's been warning. Now let's go back, because I could take you back to prophecies long before. I could take you back to prophecies that were years before this prophecy, things that were said by ministers, things that were said. See, there's a move of God. See, God is trying to raise people up to step in. See, I've learned this, and get a hold of it. You can always have revival. You can. See, most people, this is what they're waiting for, a move of God. This is, it's sort of like, there was a minister, this couple, they're both in the ministry and stuff, and she said one time, she said the Lord had spoke to her at a meeting. We'd go to Kenneth Hagin's meetings sometimes, and he would have these Holy Ghost meetings, and the power of God would move, and laughter and stuff would happen, and that kind of stuff, and things would happen. People just fall out in the power. I've seen people laid out in the power. They'd be, you know, hundreds of people just laid out in the power for hours, you know. God just knock them out, you know. And this stuff is going on, and she would sit there in his meetings, and she would always sort of just sort of laugh a little and go along with what's going on. And she told this thing, she said, the Lord said to her, he said, you think you get blessed when you're in these meetings? He said, you don't get blessed. And she sort of got, you know, hurt. He said, you don't get nothing but a slopped over blessing. And you know what the slopped over blessing is? Somebody else is getting blessed and you just happen to get splashed with it when you're around. But you don't get a blessing yourself. You're just getting a slopped over. It's like being by a swimming pool and somebody jumps in the water and you get splashed. All you got is a splash. They got wet. You didn't get what they got. And see, this is what he said to her. He said, you never enter into it yourself. You're an observer. I'm sorry, but that's what's happened to the church here in America. A church, the Spirit-filled church, is an observer today. It's watching. It's not entering. It's watching. It's not entering in by faith. See, what do I believe? One of the things that I've always had a problem with, because the Scriptures, and I preached on the Scripture in Proverbs, tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. You can't keep preaching revival for 20 or 30 years and it never comes, because people will quit on it and it just becomes no more than words said. Makes the heart sick. It's like healing. You can't keep putting your healing off. You're going to be dead. Well, isn't that right? Hope deferred makes your heart sick. You can't. That's the wonder of faith. Faith is to bring it to pass. Well, we're believing different than God said. God said we're supposed to believe the revival's here, and we're trying to believe that He's going to send one. We're believing for something that ain't going to happen. Our hope is deferred. It ain't going to happen. It's here. It's here. You know what? We're living in the time of the miraculous. I want you to start getting that on your voice. We're living in the time of the miraculous. Jesus said so. Jesus said, We're living in the return. You know what? See, the world needs it. If we want to reach the world, if we want people to get ready for the return of Jesus, somebody's got to start speaking what Jesus said. Somebody got to be able to identify where we are in time. Most of the church and most of the big name ministers don't know where we're at in time. They're doing what they were doing 5 years ago. They ain't changed. They don't see where we're at. I've been telling the Lord, I want to know, I want to see, I want to understand. If I got to change the way I think, then I'm going to change the way I think. If I've been seeing wrong, I'll stand up first and say, I was seeing wrong. It don't matter. It isn't who's right and who's wrong. It's who gets right. Hallelujah. That's what matters. It don't matter. Don't get, oh man, boy, I've been missing it. Don't go to that place. Go to praise God. I know now. Hallelujah. Now I know. And I'm stepping into it. Hallelujah. We're in the time of the miraculous. That's where we are. We're readying ourselves for the turn of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Signs, wonders, and miracles. We're in that day and in that time. Hallelujah. See, if you set yourself in it, it starts to change everything in the way you think about things. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get the power to work. God's been wanting to work the power. Hallelujah. That's what God's been wanting to do. God's been waiting for us to come over to the areas of faith. And it starts off as a simple thing. First, confession. You got to start saying the right thing. You start saying the right thing. Hallelujah is number one. I'm following the Word and I'm following the Holy Ghost and Jesus, I'm going to be ready. Hallelujah. Start talking yourself ready. Don't get over in that place, say the ones, I ain't turning away from the move of God. Hallelujah. I'm helping to usher in the gifts of the Spirit, not turn them out. Hallelujah. I'm into ushering them in. Glory to God. Get your confession in line with what God said. Hallelujah. You'll be ready. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to stay with, you know, because we're going to go into the things and look eventually our teaching. What we want to go is look at who God used and God using people concerning the announcement of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it's really interesting to see who God used. Because when you start seeing how God introduced and announced the Messiah and who God used people that you'd never think that you'd be used. God didn't, one of the things we're going to talk about eventually though is this, it always gets me. Jesus Christ didn't just run around revealing himself as Messiah. Do you notice that in scripture? And times he said, don't tell him, don't say nothing, I'm a Messiah. But he takes a Samaritan woman who she is the outsider of any group probably like less than even the Romans was the Samaritans. The Jews hated them. They were considered half-breed Jews, you know. They aren't good enough. They have a temple over in Samaria. They don't even worship in the right temple. And that place, Jesus tells a Samaritan woman, and number one, he talking to a Samaritan, he's a Jew, they don't talk to Samaritans. And then he's talking to a Samaritan woman. Oh my God. He broke every religious rule. I mean, the temple walls probably started shaking and crumbling. I mean, they probably, no telling what was happening. And he tells her he's the Messiah. And you know what she did? She blabbed it all over town. And the people come out to see him and they said, yeah, he is. The preacher to that town was a woman, a Samaritan woman, worshiping in another temple. But you know what? She was looking for the Messiah. She said to Jesus, when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all these things. He'll let us know. She's looking. This woman was more sensitive to God in another temple than what they were over in the temple God had designated. You're going to see that in these last days. That's why you better watch yourself, what you think and who's what and who's... I'm going to tell you what. If God moved, and we're going to find God did other things that are outside the scope of what we look at. Outside the scope. God does things differently. And he will on this side coming. The Messiah coming. I'll tell you, you watch what God does. He's not going to play the religious games. He's not going to play them. Hallelujah. He might move through somebody you thought he had never moved through. He would never do. You know, it's like a Christian guy, and you guys heard me say this in my testimony. I worked at Reese's, and the guy said, "You're the last guy I'd ever thought would get saved." You see, he was religious, and he was. He was a very religious guy. He had his way of thinking. It went too far. But you know what? God never thought it went too far. That guy didn't know I was in a greater search for things of the Spirit more than he probably ever was in his life. All my encounters and I did with other religions and things, and when I got involved in sorcery, I was looking for something spiritual. There's one thing that I know. I knew this, and most Christians don't even know this today, and I knew it as a sinner. I knew power was tied to the spirit realm and not the natural realm. I knew it. I knew that power was tied to the spirit realm and not the natural realm. I knew anybody who really had power had a connection in the spirit realm. And the church offered none. They offered no. All they offered was forgiveness of sin and a God that didn't do nothing. He used to. That's all they offered. So I went over to a group who offered power. And you know what? They had power. We could get spirits to manifest, and the church couldn't. Church talked about, everything was talked about in the past tense, stuff that happened in the Bible. But they didn't have any testimonies of God moving today. He was a great God that did nothing. And one day he was going to take us to heaven, and then it was going to be nice. That's all they had. But Ed lived in the here and now. And I knew there was things in the realm of the Spirit. And that was one of the things when I got born again and I came to the church and I got born again, it was one of the things that was very difficult for me, because Spirit-filled Christians always seemed to act like it was so hard to get spiritual things to happen. And I thought, my God, we could get demons to do stuff. Is God less? Well, when I came over to the kingdom, I thought, well, God's kingdom is greater than Satan. I started to expect to have manifestations of spirit. And I had them. I just thought it would take place. And I listened to Kenneth Hagin, and he'd tell these stories how they took place in his life. And I thought, well, I'll have them too. And they would happen. I just believe God wanted to do this stuff. I believe God wanted to show up at Ed's house. I believe God wanted to do things. I would have thought it was strange he didn't. I always thought that it would be strange that I couldn't give testimonies of supernatural things that happened to me. That'd be a weird thing. Because I could, when I was over-involved in sorcery, I could tell you supernatural things that happened. Well, when I got over in the kingdom of God, there was a lot more supernatural things happened. A lot more took place. It was faith in God. And I realized this. The kingdom, the spirit realm, operates the same no matter which kingdom. It operates by faith. Whoever you yield to and believe, they'll manifest. You yield to one or the other. You yield to the flesh. And Christ, I don't care if you're Christian. You yield to the flesh. You get over in faith and start. You keep yielding the flesh. Demonic things will operate. Whatever you yield to in faith. Whatever you yield to. And I found it out. I thought, well, if I get over here on this side, and I was taught by Kenneth Hagin what to do and yield to the Spirit over here, what I needed to believe and act on with God, and if I would, he'd manifest himself. And you know what? Found out he would. When I do that, he'd manifest himself. It's true, folks. We're in the time of the supernatural. We're in the time. We're not looking for one. God is talking and revealing himself and showing himself. People just don't know how. People don't recognize what God is already doing. They don't see it. We have our idea what we think a move of God is. See, we got to step into things. One thing, and I'm just encourage you, get your confessions right. Start, talk to God about the move that's here. Start asking God what you can do to cooperate with His moving. Start asking, Lord God, here it is. What do you want me to, what do I do? How do you want me to believe? Lord, is there things and revelations I need to know from the Word so I can hook up over here with what you're doing here now? See, we use the scriptures to talk about laying hands on the sick and that stuff. You know, I remember back when we thought that was the norm to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, and we were so dumb. We'd lay it on anything that moved. It seemed like it breathed. It seemed like it had any life in it. We'd lay our hands on it and pray over. You know, we were crazy. But you know what? We get results. Today, people, the laying on of hands of the sick is just something we say about, we talk about. You know, we can do that. Yep, sir. Jesus' name, you know, you can speak in new tongues. We don't ever use them, but you can if you want to. See, they're all things we talk about, but they're not part of our everyday life of what we do. Hallelujah. And get back in our thinking again. See, we've lost that there touch to the supernatural. It's always been there. Has the book of Mark changed? Has 16th chapter changed? Casting out devil. Is that changed? Do we need a special move of God for that to happen? Does the name of Jesus, has it lost its power? Did it go someplace? Does it not work today? Maybe it don't save as well as it used to. The reason we don't see the name performing, because we don't preach it and people don't believe it. We don't tell people. We don't do it. You want revival? Just start doing what the Word says. Hallelujah. The Word and the Spirit and me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Let's get back to the Word and the Holy Ghost, okay? Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I'm glad I took the time to preach these things. I'm glad I took the time because I tell you what, folks, we're in a time. Let's quit looking for a time. We're in the best time. Folks, we're the people of this age. We're this generation he was talking to. We are. We're not looking for another. We're the generation in this day. We're here. There's a generation of people that are in our generation who haven't heard and don't know, but we do. And we're in the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul wrote and told the church at Rome in the 8th chapter of Romans, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're in Christ, indeed is in you. Christ is in you, isn't he? Hallelujah. Then you're in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You're not trying to get there. Glory to God. You're in the Spirit. You might say, you know what? Your mind might say, well, I sure don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like it. You say what the Bible says. The Bible says you're in the Spirit. That's what it says. Hallelujah. You're in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's you. And you know, you're living in the day of the miraculous. That's where you're at. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The days of miracle. Sign wonders. Healings. Hallelujah. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost greater than the Acts of the Apostles. We're living in that day. See, I'm not saying this because I'm seeing it. I see it in the Word. Therefore, I know I have to say it if we want to bring it to seeing it. And the more I say it, the more it'll become real to me. Hallelujah. And the more it comes real to me, the more faith I put in it. Hallelujah. And just, I'll tell you what. It's just one of those terrible things that you just keep doing, and after a while, it just overtakes you. And they'll say, my God, they went crazy. See, they're crazy now. They're believing weird things. Now they've gone too far. No, you haven't gone too far. You haven't gone enough. If everybody don't think you're an idiot as far as you go and you're believing, you have not gone far enough. Because if the world can identify you and other Christians at all, you have not gone far enough. If they can reason with you today, dear God, hallelujah, we're in the days of miracles. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord God, Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, you know how much I've prayed on the areas of opening the eyes of our understanding and enlightening us, giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And I want to thank you for doing it. I thank you for opening our eyes, Lord God, to see and understand things. Lord God, it's you working in us, helping us take our place. Lord God, we didn't come to this here where all of a sudden we got smart. Lord God, you were smart. We just hooked up with you. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to think your thoughts. Thank you for allowing us to take the mind of Jesus and put it on. Hallelujah. It is so good way to think, Lord God. It is so encouraging and refreshing, Lord God, that we're not trying to work to get somewhere. We're there. We're not trying to get to this place, Lord God. Lord, it's the place that you have put us. You, Lord God, everyone today standing here in this place has been already born into this generation, has been born into this place, has been born into this position, has been born into this day of the miraculous. Lord God, we're already sitting in it. And we thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're going to take our place. Lord, I want to thank you for the revelations that have came from those who have walked before us, the ones who have brought us things. Lord, we didn't know. We didn't understand. But I thank you, Father God. Father, refresh us with the revelations that those who had in the past that will help us in these days that we're walking in. Lord, because I know that there's people of the past that have gone on, and Lord, they're with you right now. But Lord God, they had revelations of things that we have not known or walked in our time. But Lord God, I know this from a fact. You've placed it in my heart that you want to reveal those things to us. You want us to show us those things, that we can walk in them in these last days and times, because they will be such a great blessing to others, and they will be a great blessing in this last day and time. And I thank you. Lord God, there's not a person standing here today who is any lesser than anyone else. Lord God, just as in the past, Lord God, we can go through the Bible of people that you picked and chose. They weren't like the what man would call the likely candidate. But Lord God, they're ones that you chose. And today, these are a chosen people standing before me. Hallelujah. These are a chosen generation. They're a royal priesthood, Lord God. And Lord, you will use any one of them and can reveal to any one of them, hallelujah, any truths, any revelations of the Word that they can walk in the glory of God. Lord God, it is not designated to an individual. It's designated to the body. Hallelujah. It's designated to the body, to all. Jesus, you said yourself, the one who would seek would find. You didn't say it was a certain person or if they had a certain calling. You said if they would seek, they would find. If they would knock, it'd be open to them. And surely, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. Lord God, that's what we're doing here today. We're knocking. And Lord God, we're knocking loud. We're beating on the door, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, this is not a friendly visit. Lord God, this is a desperation of a people who need a move of God in these last days. This is a desperation of people, Lord God, that are calling to you because, Lord God, somebody's got to take their place. And we're willing to take our place. We're willing to stand where you've called us to for the blessing of the nation and the people in this nation and the people of this world. Lord God, we desire to stand in the place you've called us. And so we thank you. Lord God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Holy Spirit, thank you for instructing and teaching us. Open up the Word to us that we can see. Oh, we want to know what our Master's doing. Holy Spirit, we want to know what Jesus is doing. Not necessarily what he has done, but what's he doing now? What does he want us to do now? We want to fall into the place of the time and day that he's working in right now, that we can labor with him. Hallelujah. And do his bidding. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're not going to be a disappointed people. Lord God, our hope ain't getting deferred. We're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow our hope to get deferred. It will not. We're not going to, Lord God, I pray you open the eyes of ministers to see, Lord God. Lord, that they don't just keep kicking that can down the road and kicking it. Lord, that they tell their people, that their people can see. Lord God, that faith can rise up in them and they can take a hold of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you for what you have revealed to us, what you will reveal to us so we can walk in this day and in this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so kind and good to us. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for opening up your Word to us. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, you know our desire is to do your will. You know it. You know it, Lord God. Lord, we might have got off track at times. We might have missed it here and there. But Lord God, Lord, you know it ain't been intentionally. You know we didn't try to. But we want to thank you. You have been faithful to bring us back into line all the time. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. You're so kind and good. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we leave this place not with just some hope, but Lord God, we leave with confidence of faith in our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord God, that this future belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ. This future that's been laid out. And this time with our Master coming back. Hallelujah. And the fullness of our redemption. Oh, Lord God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the great harvest of the age. Hallelujah. That is coming. And I thank you, Lord, we're going to step out into it as laborers. Hallelujah. Lord God, laborers in this harvest. Lord God, rejoicing and are glad for these days. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.